Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It's my pleasure to have on Andy Biggs from Arizona, chairman of the Freedom Caucus, and just yesterday, he returned from the border. Andy has been on this border crisis for a very long time. Being from Arizona, he knows it very, very well. He's been there several times, taken several congressional delegations down there. I was actually just in Arizona this week, meeting with a lot of the Republicans. Andy, thanks for hosting me down there. We met some great people, had some great events. I learned a lot. I learned why so many Californians are going to Arizona, most importantly. I saw a lot of my former constituents down there. But thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Devin, good to be with you. Thank you for being in Arizona. It was great. Everybody that met you that I talked to appreciated. You're very approachable. You're very candid. And you don't pull any punches. And that's what people like. They really want to know what's going on. That's for sure.
Well, that's what we try to do on my podcast, Andy. One of the reasons I started it is because there's so much fake news out there. I desperately needed an avenue by which I could communicate not only to my constituents, but to supporters all over the country and around the world, because so much of 95% of the content out there is so left-wing that I have no way, unless I go directly to people, to talk to them. And so that's what I like to do. I like to bring people like you that know your stuff, that know what you're doing, you know the issues, so that we can talk specifically to the American people. So let's walk the American people through. Let's take this in a couple sections. But first of all, can you give us a 30,000-foot view? What's really happening? How many people do you estimate are really coming across the border? We see numbers all over the board. What do you think are the factual numbers today?
Well, that's a great question. Just think of it this way. In February, 100,000 people were encountered or apprehended coming across our border. Through Monday, it was 113,000 in March. And so, and it's also increasing every day, the number of people. So they anticipate about 130. I'm anticipating closer to 140 as being the apprehensions. And then that doesn't include the 25 to 75% of that we do not catch, the getaways.
I just want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear and precise. So you're saying that this month, just in apprehensions across the border is well over 100,000, just the apprehensions.
That's correct. Exactly right. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the way to think of it is it's very different. So you have multiple sectors along the border. So you have the Rio Grande Valley, and that's where all the video and the news media is focusing on now, because they're really being overrun right now. But similarly, the Tucson sector, which is where I was yesterday, it's being overrun. They're having about 600 or more people a day being apprehended in this very remote area. The difference is in the Rio Grande Valley, most of those people are surrenders. And in Arizona, the Tucson sector, they're runners. Now, again, that's different than Yuma, which is a different sector altogether. But the point is 600 people just in that area being apprehended every day.
So you mentioned it. How many people do you think we're actually apprehending? I mean, is there any way to even guesstimate it of the percentage of the people in total that we're apprehending?
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to say, because known getaways are going to be anywhere from 25 to 40%. Unknown getaways, nobody knows, but they could be as high as, some people have estimated, as high as another 40% on top of that. So you could have, if you're apprehending, say, 100,000, you might have an additional 70,000, 60 to 70,000 people getting in that you're not apprehending. And that could be everything from people who are human trafficking, sex trafficking, and drug trafficking.
And that's in a month. So let's just say rough numbers. If we're apprehending 100,000 people, we'd probably be safe to say there's at least 50,000 people that are getting through that we just don't catch.
I think that's a fair number. Some Border Patrol leader will say that's a little high, maybe 35 to 40,000. And other people who are observers like me that are extrapolating, they might say it's closer to 70. So, yeah.
Okay. So with that said, so then we apprehend these 100,000 people a month, you know, just approximate numbers, probably going to go up. What happens to them? That's what everybody wants to know. What's the truth? What's really happening? Let's start with the kids in cages. Well, that's what they used to be called. Under Trump, it was kids in cages. Now it's, you know, Obama and Biden really and Harris really taking care of the kids.
Yeah, so it's a welcome transition center now.
Transition center. Yeah. Of course it is.
So the number one growth group is unaccompanied minors. And so right now, contrary to what President Biden said yesterday in his press conference, they are at the seams and beyond. There's one facility in Donna, Texas, that is 1,700% of what its holding capacity is, and that's of unaccompanied minors. And they don't know what to do with them. They can't get them screened. They know that there's the COVID risk, but there's also other health risks as well. So it is really dramatic what's happening there. And so you got all that rolling through with the kids. And I'll just tell you, I can give you an example of what I learned yesterday from 2 days ago in the Tucson sector. They had, this is kind of unusual because they're not getting these groups this big. They had a group of 112 people coming in together. And the ages ranged from 94 years old at the top. Yeah, amazing. And to 4 years old at the bottom end. Think of that, 4 years old. And that child was not traveling with parents, guardians, no siblings, no aunts and uncles, nobody. That child had been placed in the hands of the coyote, the drug cartel. And those cartels view these people as just commodities. They bring them to the border. And it used to be they would bring them to the border and then and make sure they got to where they were going. Now they bring them to the border and they rely on the United States to get them where they need to go.
Us to the second. So the kids are at the welcome center. We don't call them cages anymore. They're at the welcome center. What's going to happen with them? How do they process them? I mean, are they sending any of them back? What's happening to them?
Well, so if they're in the United States, if these kids aren't sent back, which they're really not being sent back, it's adults who are being sent back. But if it's kids, what they're going to do, they're going to do one of a couple things. They're going to, if they know a relative or someone who will take them, they're going to send them. We will send that kid to those people. If we don't know a relative, they're going to try to place them in some kind of a foster type of arrangement. In the meantime, I've introduced legislation to send those kids back to their families. So if we don't know, if they don't have family here, let's send them back to their families, whether it's Guatemala, El Salvador, Chile, Venezuela, wherever they need to be. We want to send them back to their families.
Okay. So what's the true story? There was this issue that was on the news, and I'm always skeptical about what I see on the news, but there were not just kids, but people across the world, they were testing positive for COVID. So what's the real story with the COVID testing?
Yeah, so the COVID testing kind of goes like this. They're going to give you a kind of a screening when you come in. It's a checklist. How you feeling? They might take your temperature. But here's the deal. If you don't have symptoms of COVID, they're not going to give you a COVID test before they release you. That's the word I'm getting.
But it was true, though, that there were hundreds testing positive for COVID.
Oh, that's right. That's absolutely true.
Okay, so the kids are all staying. What happens to the adults? Like, what happened? You mentioned the 94-year-old, which is an incredible story. What do they do with a 94-year-old?
Well, they're doing, again, a couple of things. So they're using Title 42 to send back about 60% of the people coming. So you have 140,000 people. They're going to send back about 60% of them. Send them back south. But the rest of those people, what they're doing now is primarily if they don't have any reason to believe that they're, through some preliminary vetting, not very deep vetting, but no real vetting to speak of that indicates that they're in danger, they're going to release them into the community. In Rio Grande Valley now, Devin, what they're doing is they're basically releasing them into the community without even a notice to appear. So there's no paper notice to appear.
So this is the classic, and I've heard this talked about. I don't know. This is the catch and release. This is right.
Full on catch and release. And so in Arizona, they'll give you a notice to appear. They'll say you got to appear either at ICE or a court setting, and maybe a year or 2 years off. But in Rio Grande Valley, they're experimenting with just saying, you know, away you go. And you need to be back to ICE, check in with ICE within 60 days.
So what you're telling me, so just so the viewers and listeners understand. So if they capture 100,000 people in February, at least 60% of those were caught and released.
They were turned back to Mexico. The 40% they're probably already somewhere in America. They're out in America somewhere.
Okay, so it's 40%, not 60. So the 60%, they turn back to Mexico. What do? They just run them back. Are the Mexican authorities taking them? What are they doing with them?
No, I mean it's like President Biden said yesterday. Well, you know, the Mexicans aren't taking them. Well, the reason they're not taking them is because President Biden canceled the Remain in Mexico policy. And then he says, I don't know why they're not taking them. They're not taking them because he canceled the Mexican MPP policy.
Okay, so 40% in February got in. They're never going to appear in court. That's the catch and release. That's so right. 60% that we got. So where are they? What's happening?
They're going to come back.
So that, what do they do? Just run them across the border the opposite way, and then they just turn around and then try to pay someone to get back through?
Yeah, but yes to both of those. So if they're further down, and we haven't been able to verify this, but we used to run an airline, believe it or not, CBP used to have kind of an airline, ICE and CBP, where they would actually fly people back to El Salvador, Guatemala. They had, like, I think it was 4 or 5 planes, and they ran a regular route. So I'm not sure if they're still running that route, but since we're just taking a lot of them, just turning them away, they're coming back up. A lot of them are going to come back up.
Wow. This is serious numbers, Andy, and I think this is really good for my podcast audience to hear this, because there's so much fake news out there. But I think the bottom line here is, I mean, you're talking about, at least from just the numbers you're telling me, 100,000 people a month that are getting into the United States, at least.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just staggering numbers.
Yeah, if you take those we know, plus, and then we apprehend, and then you take the known getaways, that's people we saw. As CB people write down, say, I saw 6 people ahead of me, they got away. And you take the unknowns, it's probably pretty close to 100,000 a month.
Right, and growing. And that's the danger of the incoherent message that Biden left us with at his first press conference ever, was green light to continue to send people here. And that's the next final issue that I really want to dive into. We talked a little bit about this in Arizona when I was there earlier this week, is that for a large part, there are not very many actual Mexican people that are coming over. Most of the people now are Central and Southern America. At least that's what I've been led to believe. And of course, we have these other reports of everywhere from criminal drug gangs, gang cartels, including global drug and human traffickers involved with Eastern Europe, mafia, that sort of thing. So kind of break that down for us, Andy. What do you know to be true? What do you know to not be true?
So you're right that it's Mexicans don't make up the majority of people coming in, and it's spreading down. So you still have the Northern Triangle states of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Still have a pretty good representation. But an example is in Gila Bend the other day, they released 16 people, 6 family units, 5 from Venezuela. So you're getting a lot of Venezuelans coming up now, and 1 from Chile. I've encountered people from Brazil before on the border. A couple of months ago, they found 11 from Iran. And then you have others that are from terrorist, you know, states that sponsor terrorism. We will have 150 different nations admitted, but they're going to be largely Central American still.
Okay. And then there's also, I've read some news reports that you see people leaving from people are smuggling them from Africa and over into the, they're making their way somehow to the Caribbean by boat, it sounds like, and then they make it ashore somewhere in Central America, and then they're working their way up.
100% accurate. A lot of those were coming in actually through Brazil because it, you know, was a closer ocean crossing, mm-hmm. and then they worked their way up, and they may go through the Caribbean over to Central America or southern Mexico, or they're going to roll right up the landmass. So, yeah, we are seeing Africans as well. There's no doubt.
Well, Andy, this has been very enlightening. Thank you for breaking all of this down for us. So just before we go, I like to kind of keep it free flowing on the podcast. We could probably have you on for another hour, but I know you have to get going. What do you foresee here? What's on the horizon outside of immigration? We saw Biden's press conference. We know that I call it the Obama-Biden-Harris administration because, as you know, Obama lives a half a mile from the White House. He never left. All the people that were involved in the Russia hoax, the Ukraine hoax, these are blue checks on Twitter that should have known better, that helped corrupt the FBI and the Department of Justice. They all got promotions in this Obama-Biden-Harris White House. Where do you see this going? I'm really wondering, after Biden's performance this past week, I had flashbacks. Well, I think you were participating in this too because you're on Judiciary Committee. But if you remember back to the Mueller report, remember when Mueller came in and he testified to the House Intelligence Committee and to the Judiciary Committee, I believe, or was it Oversight?
It was Judiciary.
Yeah. So you remember, you were there for that. I had flashbacks watching that. I thought it was Mueller 2.0. Remember Mueller came in and, you know, he didn't know who Fusion GPS was. Here the guy spent $40 million of taxpayer dollars and found zero evidence of Republicans colluding with Russia, but actually didn't know the Democrats. He couldn't find the Democrats that were colluding with Russians, and including, we still don't know where the $3.5 million from the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, how that got to Hunter Biden and what Hunter Biden did with that money. So where do you see this? Do you agree? I mean, didn't Biden? I'm having flashbacks to Mueller. What about you?
Yeah, no, I see the same thing. I see some serious cognitive issues, but I mean, we just didn't know. I mean, when we go back to Mueller, I just got to riff on that for just a sec because we did a mock trial, or if you will, mock hearing the night before, and I was on fire, ready to go, and then when Mueller came in, and you realized he doesn't know anything, and I'm literally pointing out on page 26, the second paragraph, Mr. Mueller, can you? He couldn't find the page. His attorney had to get up and turn the page and show him what we're talking about. And then he reads it and says, I don't recall anything about that. I mean, that's the kind of thing you see when Joe Biden gets up there and says the things he says about immigration to the border. Where I see this thing going, though, is I think we're being governed by an oligarchy up there, you know, and they're going to try to do big taxes coming our way. They're going to keep going with anti-gun legislation. They're going to keep going with amnesty legislation. And I'm afraid they're not going to do anything really substantive on the border because they like an open border. So that's just a few things that I would see coming ahead, Devin.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. And now a lot of this legislation has been passed and sent over to the Senate already. While they've been creating this fake news narrative that all Republicans are racist, this was news to me now that we're not only racist against kind of your traditional folks, but now they brought it this Asian racism now too.
Yeah.
Which, you know, last time I checked, if you're, you know, people that I know that if you call them Asian, people that I know that our families originate from Asia, they don't really appreciate being called Asian. Like if you're Korean, you don't like being looped in with everybody else there. I mean, people do have identities in this world. And I love how the left loves to play these identity politics. Is, you know, you kind of broke down well, people coming from Mexico, Guatemala, Brazil, et cetera. Most of those people don't consider themselves Latino. That's a left-wing university-created thing that when I grew up with a lot of people that were born in Mexico or their families came from Mexico. They didn't call themselves Latino. They didn't start calling themselves Latino until the woke news media and their woke college professors started telling them that this Latino nonsense. So the kind of the same thing is true. I didn't know that, you know, we're now prejudiced against Asians now. That was news for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, first of all, it's really, you know, they get mad about being Eurocentric or Western-centric. That's really kind of a Western-centric kind of hubris, because Asia, as a landmass and population, dwarfs us in the West enormously. Nice. And to say that the Vietnamese would align with the Japanese, you know, just this big lump, it is so demeaning. And, you know, but that's the way they go. And I got to tell you about Latinx, you know, that's the term, is Latinx. You can't say Latino or Latina anymore. It's Latinx because that's what the university woke professor said. And when I talk to my friends from Mexico, they say, I'm a Mexican. That guy's Guatemalan. That woman's Puerto Rican. We're not Latinx or anything like that, but that's just the way they do it.
you can't make this up. It is ridiculous. It's Latinx. I had not heard that until just the last couple of weeks. Yeah. It's so so absurd. Addie, anyway, look, this is great. Really appreciate it. All the work that you're doing to on behalf of the people of Arizona and, of course, the people of America. We appreciate your leadership, and I appreciate your friendship, and I'm sure I'll see you on the plane. I got to transfer through Phoenix quite often on my way from California. Yeah. So,
yeah, I look forward to seeing you, Devin. Thanks for your leadership. You're doing a great job. Your constituents are lucky to have you. I will say that very, very sincerely.
Thanks, Andy. It's Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next time.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
It's no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.